opens with funeral preparations, and then Yaakov, Father Jacob, informs Yosef that he wishes to confer blessing upon his children. They will be elevated to the status of tribes, and they will receive a special measure of blessing. And Yosef kind of arranges his children. First, his father has a moment of doubt, and then it gets cleared up, and then he arranges his children, and Yaakov maneuvers his hands in a particular way, and perhaps we'll talk about that tomorrow. But I want to pick up today's class in the middle of the second reading, chapter 48, verse 15. So after preparing to bless Joseph's children, the Torah says, Vayivarech es Yosef. He blessed Yosef. Vayoymar, and he said, Ho elikim asher hishalchu avoysa lefonov. The God that my ancestors went before, Avram and Yitzchak, Ho Elokim Haroya Isi, the God who pastures me, Me'odi, from when I came into being, Adayim Ezer. And then he goes on to say, he talks about a malach, a very, very difficult verse to understand. The first thing that catches our eye is that in the second reading, Yosef's father, Yaakov, is preparing to bless Yosef's children. In the third reading, in fact, that's what he does. He blesses the children. And there's this business with hands being maneuvered and particular blessings being bestowed upon particular children. So why does verse 15 say, Vayivarech es Yosef, that he blessed Yosef? Here it should say, Vayivarech es Menashe v'es Ephraim. That's really the question. Now, interestingly, Rashi does not speak about this at all. I guess in Pshut Shel Mikra, Yosef and his children are ultimately one. But many of the other Mefarshim speak about it. So the Ramban, Nachmanides, says that in order, or precisely because of his special love for Yosef, that's why he blessed his children. And because it's the love he had for Yosef that motivated the blessing for his children, that's why it says, Vayivarech es Yosef. This is almost like a station identification as to why the children are getting this blessing. Because they're Yosef's children, that's why they're being blessed in this special manner. Rashbam, Rabbeinu Bachaya, Chizkuni, and many others maintain that ultimately, if children are blessed, who else is blessed? And the parents are blessed. It's not mutually exclusive. If he's going to bless the children, it's like he's blessing Yosef. This is what's most important to a person, their own children. The Sif Sikhoinim Alatayra says that Yosef came to bless the children. That's true. But it doesn't mean he didn't bless Yosef. He blessed all the other Shvatim, blessed all the other tribes. He wasn't going to bless Yosef. So therefore, the Torah interjects saying, yes, Vayivarech es Yosef. He confers agency and blessing on Yosef's children also, but don't think that he didn't bless Yosef himself. All right, now, we don't hear about the blessing initially. He starts giving a background. He says, Vayoymar. He's warming him up for the blessing. The God that my ancestors went before. So the Medrash Seichel Tov says that they were mekaptzim v'ratzim. They were springing, jumping, and running like horses in order to do Hashem's will. It's like a euphemism. That's the meaning of Sheres Halchu Lefanai, who went before me. Like the Rebbe once said, when it comes to election, nobody walks for election, nobody stands for election, they run for election. When it came to serving Hashem, they didn't stand before God, they didn't walk before God, they ran before God. And that's what the Medrash Seichel Tov says. So the God that my ancestors ran before, indicating tremendous zest, zeal, alacrity, devotion, dedication. Ha'alekim haraya isi, the God who provides for me, literally who pastures me. So the Targum says, Hashem dizon yosi. Dizon comes from the terminology of providing for me. Simply like providing, like giving parnasa. According to the Ur HaChaim, the reason that Yosef goes on this seeming tangent in which he talks about the merits, the virtues of his predecessors, of Avram and of Yitzchak, is because he wants to start off with zichron avos, remembering the past, remembering the fathers. That they ran before Hashem, and the Ur HaChaim puts it differently in the Medrash. He says, Kiseh Haraya, When they would serve Hashem, it would be like a sheep who simply followed the leader. Wherever the shepherd took them, so that's the way that they engaged in Avodas Hashem. There's a very interesting expression from the Alter Rebbe where he said that a yid dav zayin azevi atzig, a yid has to be like a goat for the goat's master. What does the goat have to do? The goat gives milk. What does the master have to do? He has to provide him with pasture and fresh water. He said if a yid's job knows his job is to give milk, so to speak, your job is to give what Hashem wants of you, then Hashem will provide for you. So this is what Yesh is talking about. He says, my ancestors who ran before God, the God who pastured me, and in here, Yaakov is also mentioning the attitude, the approach, the perspective one has in Avodas Hashem. Continuing along these lines, verse 16 says, Hamalach HaGoyaloisi, the angel who has redeemed me, Mikol Rafam or evil, finally we get to the blessing, Yevorech HaSaneorim, he should bless the young lads. V'yikor v'hem shmi, my name should be called upon them. V'shem avoysai, and the name of my fathers. Very famous words. We use these syntax when we bless our children. Avraham v'yitzchak. The names of Abraham and Isaac. V'yidgu l'roiv, and they should propagate like fish. V'kerev ha'aretz, in the midst of the land. What a mysterious verse. Hamalach ha'goyel oisi. The angel who redeems me. Why are we talking about an angel? In verse 15, we talked all about God. In verse 15, we said, Ho elikim asher es halcho avoysai, the God whom my ancestors walked before. We said, Ho elikim haroya oisi, the God who shepherds me. And now in verse 16, when he's about to bestow the blessing, he's not speaking about God. Instead, he's speaking about an angel. What changed? Why did he move from God into the syntax of angel? And who is this angel? So Rashi says, Malach haragel lehishtaleach elai. This is the angel that God was accustomed to sending to me. When did God send this angel? Bitzarasi. When things were tight. When I had troubles, God sent an angel. Ki inyan shenemer, like it says, when Yaakov was in the house of Lavan, Vayomer Elai Malach Olekim Bechalim, an angel came in a dream, in a nocturnal vision, and he said, Yaakov, etc. His gods, I see everything that Lavan is doing to you. I feel your pain. I know you're suffering. It's time to go home. Or, this is the same angel that we read of. Anoichi, it says, Hakel Beiskel. I am the God of Beiskel. That's the place where Yaakov poured oil over the rock and made his vow and so on and so forth. So over there, he says, okay, go home. So over there, clearly it says, V'yemir Eilem Malach. And Malach said to me. So now, that's the reason that Yaakov says Malach, because whenever I had trouble, there was a Malach that came to help me. So the Malach that came to help me, when I had trouble, that Malach should be there for you. It's still a little strange, though, that it says Hamalach HaGoyel Oisi. So the Sefarno has a very interesting suggestion. He says, what happens if Yosef's children aren't worthy of the kind of blessing that Yaakov wishes to bestow? If they're not worthy? What if they don't measure up? What if they're not living so cleanly, so purely, so devotedly? What if you know, to get Hashem's blessing, you have to be a worthy vessel? What if they aren't an appropriate vessel? They weren't suitable? Does it mean that they won't get the blessing? This is a big question. So the Sefarno says, if you're not worthy of a blessing, you can still get the blessing easily if it comes through a proverbial intermediary. So it's almost as, even if you don't deserve it directly, so you get it indirectly. And Yaakov is giving insurance. He said, the best insurance that regardless of what will happen, this blessing will come, is if I bless them by invoking the presence of the angel. Now the Ur HaChaim says that it's not an angel altogether. Ur HaChaim maintains that Maimer Hashem, that the word of God, is metaphorized as an angel, and he has various proofs for this, where we say that Dvar Hashem is called a Malach. So therefore he says, God's word should always be upon you. But this is like the interesting discussions around it. It's very like telling. He starts off with God, then he moves into the angel. It's almost, in the end, the blessings come from God, but here Yaakov is describing how the blessing will come. Here's the convention. Here's the vehicle through which the blessing comes, rather than focusing on the source of the blessings. V'yikarei v'hem shemi, my name should be called upon them. First he says, Yivarech es'an arim, you should bless the lads. Who are these lads? Rashi says, Menashe and Ephraim. Say, one second. Yivarech es'an arim, the pasuk started off, verse 15, Vayivarech es Yosef. That Yosef is getting blessed. And now all of a sudden he's talking about Menashe and Ephraim. So the Chizkuni says, when Yosef's children are blessed, Yosef is blessed. That's what God says to him. Yaakov says to him. Yaakov says, V'yivarech es Yosef. Yaakov is blessing Yosef. And what's the blessing for Yosef? That his children will be blessed. So they're not mutually exclusive, and Yivarech es'an arim clearly means that. Now, what is the meaning of V'yikarei v'hem shmi? My name will be called upon them. So Rabbi Yosef B'charsher says something fascinating. It should always be noticeable that these are Jewish children. That's the greatest blessing for us. Some Jews sadly and tragically try to blend in. They don't want to be visible. But this is not a blessing. This is the opposite. The greatest blessing for us is that we are noticeably Jewish. That people take one look and they say, ah, that's the children of Avraham, of Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And that has nothing to do with wearing a funny hat. It has nothing to do with wearing a pair of pants. You can dress in orangutan, any kind of clothes you want too. The point is that one's behavior should be identified as Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov. This is the way a descendant of the patriarchs and matriarchs is supposed to behave. You can see that Heim Zera Beirach Hashem, they are the blessed seed of Hashem. Now the Daz Zakenim says that's with every Jew. So why is that only with the children of Yosef? V'yikarei v'hem shmi, every Yid should look like a Yid. That's not fair. Only Yosef's children get this distinction. So the Baal Turim says V'yikarei v'hem shmi means that they are going to be elevated to the state of Shvatim, to the status of tribes. And that's V'yikarei v'hem shmi, the tribes of Yaakov. Where the Baal Turim says, ultimately, all of the tribes or all the Jewish people are referred to by the name of Yosef. And we see this in Psalm 77, where it says, Go'alta b'zroya amecha, you have redeemed in might your nation, b'nei Yaakov v'Yosef Selah, the progeny of Yaakov and Yosef for eternity. Reb Chaim says something very unusual. He says, here we talk about the idea of Yikarei v'hem shmi, that my name should be called upon them. Says Reb Chaim, that Yikarei v'hem shmi, not only that they will be called by the name of the patriarchs, but Yikarei v'hem shmi means that through them comes honor to the patriarchs. That's the Yikarei v'hem shmi. And now we'll conclude with the focus on the fishy blessings. The Yidgu L'Roiv Bekerev Ha'aretz, that they should propagate like fish in the midst of the land. What a strange blessing. Why do you bless them like fish? Bless them like birds. I don't know. Who wants to be a fish? What's the point? So Rashi says that here's what's unique about the fish. Nobody procreates like fish. Schools of fish, enormously copious amounts of offspring, are to be seen only in marine life. Rashi says, "Kidogim halalu, like these fish, sheparim verabim, that have amazingly prolific kinds of propagation." And not only that they're able to procreate with tremendous, tremendous velocity, with huge amounts at a time, but ein ayin hara shaletes b'hem. There's no evil eye because nobody can see him. The fish are all covered by the seas. So nobody sees all that activity going on, and there's an enormous amount of it happening. That's the Pshut Lashon Mikra. That's what Rashi says. The Or HaChaim says that fish in the water find themselves in a very cold place. The water's freezing. It's the coldest place on earth is the water. Well, Antarctica maybe, but as a rule, if you're in submerged in the water, it's cold. And the Or HaChaim suggests that in temperatures that are frigid or very, very cold, it would inhibit the notion of procreation. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the blessing that Yaakov wishes to bestow is that God should bless them that regardless of their environment, even if their environment is hostile, and God knows that we, the Jewish people, have lived in so many hostile environments where our development was not encouraged and was not necessarily appreciated, nonetheless, we continue to develop at accelerated speed despite it all. In other words, according to the Ur HaChaim, the metaphor of fishes, despite the fact that it would seem to be a challenge, that it would be difficult for that propagation to take place, that it should happen nonetheless and in great numbers. Of course, there are those who discuss whether or not this actually is seen with regard to Ephraim and Manasseh. When you look at Ephraim and Manasseh, we don't see tremendous numbers that are discussed over here. The Aderes Aliyot suggests that it only happened when they actually came to Eretz Yisrael. So the census counts that are taken are only in the desert, but once they came to the land of Israel, they indeed experienced this. And why would that be? He says, because it says, Bekerev Ha'aretz. When do we get these blessings? In the land of Israel. But before we came to the land of Israel, then you didn't see these blessings. It still sounds a little fishy. If you had to come up with a metaphor to bless your children, it is doubtful that you would say, be like a fish. And besides the fact that this Rashi evokes the idea of Ayin Hara, it's not a positive, it's a negative. Ein Ayin Hara sheletes bahem. Because they're hidden, because they're concealed, the evil eye cannot control them. But it doesn't speak about anything in a positive sense. So here, on page Shin Lamed Gimel, in Simen Yud Aleph, the Rebbe suggests that there is a deep mystical message that's being conveyed to us that you and I can download into our everyday life today, here and now. First, a quote from the Gemara in Brachas. The Gemara in Brachas on page 20, side A, which incidentally is quoted by the Bartanura in his commentary on the Chumash, says the following. Ma dogim shebayam, just as the fish of the sea, mayim mechasim aleihem, they're always covered in water, ve'ein ayin hara sheletes behem, and the evil eye has nothing on them. Nobody can be jealous of the fish. Nobody sees them. So avzar shel Yosef, so too the seed of Yosef, ein ayin hara sheletes behem. Nobody's negativity, nobody's jealousy can harm them in any way, shape, or form. That's the special blessing of Yosef. That's why the Sephardic Jews, when they see somebody very successful, somebody they like, they'll say, Ben Porat Yosef. They'll evoke the blessings of Yosef, as if to say, they should ward off the evil eye, people's jealousy, people's negativity shouldn't harm you in any way, shape, or form. So the Rebbe suggested that bepnimius hanyanim, if we look at this through spiritual lenses, from a mystical perspective, there's a maila, there's a virtue of mayim mechasim aleihem, which is not simply protecting them from negativity or jealousy, but there's something unique, there's something special about the proverbial notion of waters covering them. Something positive. It's not just warding off something negative. It's not just shielding or preventing them from being harmed, but there's something positive that's actually being conveyed. What could that be? Yodua, it's well known, Shaderech v'hakli, that the pathway, or if you will, the appropriate mechanism, the medium, through which we can merit the blessings of Hashem, is ayidei his batlos mochletes klapov. It's when a person lives with a sense of self-suspension. The less it's about you, the more it's about God, the more you become a vehicle for those blessings. A simple metaphor, if you want the sunlight in the room, you want to have a window. If you want all the sunlight, you want a clear window. The less it's about the window, the more sunlight you get. The more it's about God, the less it's about us, the more we become a vehicle to reflect Hashem's blessings and Hashem's presence. Kol zman shehanivra margish esatzmei, as long as the created being is self-aware in an unhealthy fashion, kimetzias atzmos, as independent of God, harei mi'achar shemetziyusei mugbelas, because everybody's own reality is limited. You can only be you. You can't be somebody else. You have the contours, so to speak, of your personality, of your reality. So einu yachol lekabel berachas Hashem. You can't get God's blessings in the purest fashion because God's blessings are limitless, but we are limited. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's blessings are lemaila mikol hagbala. God is omnipotent and limitless, but if we are finite and limited, we can only get finite and limited blessings. So kasher hanivra mevatlas atzmai, the smaller one makes themselves, or the more one is able to forget about themselves. So azai yachalish razbay berachas Hashem bilti mogbelas. Then you can have limitless or endless possibilities that open before you. Even, we're not speaking about God, but even when you deal interpersonally, when a person obsesses about themselves, the person's a narcissist, and everything's about them, people aren't really interested in opening doors for them. People aren't really interested in making things available to them. But when a person is selfless, when a person is humble, the reality is that this opens doors, doesn't close doors. The less you focus on yourself, the more successful you become, rather than the other way around. And this is the remez that Rebbe suggests. This is the deeper message in which is being alluded to when Yaakov metaphorizes and he wants to bless the children of Yosef as fish, as marine life. Mayim achasim aleim. The Gemara says it means waters cover them. Hadogim betivom betelum afnei hamayim. The nature of fish is that they are suspended in water. Kol kiyumam tolei b'mayim. Their very existence depends on the water. Kisha Pershim and Ayam, when they separate from the sea, Mesim, they die. There's a famous story that's told. Papas ben Yehuda, who was a less than righteous Jew, saw Rabbi Akiva teaching Torah during Roman times. And he said, Akiva, Akiva, do you know what's going to happen to you? The authorities will follow you. They'll get to you. They'll eventually imprison you. So, but he says, if you stop studying Torah and you stop teaching Torah, stop being a Rabbi Akiva, then you'll be free. So Rabbi Akiva said to him, you remind me of the conversation between the fox and the fish. What's the conversation? Rabbi Akiva says, the fish were kind of swimming hither and thither with great anxiety, and the fish said, what are you so worried about?
Fox.
The fox. And the fish said, we're afraid of being caught by the fisherman's net. So the fox said, come on dry land, there's no fishermen here, no nets here. And the fish said, foolish fox, if we leave the sea, we will not be caught by the fisherman's net, but we also won't be. So Rabbi Akiva said, if I stop teaching Torah, then we aren't. You're right, I might be caught for teaching Torah. I might pay a price, and he did tragically pay a terrible price for teaching Torah. However, he says not studying Torah is not an option. No Yiddishkeit is not a solution. So the notion of fish and water is, you leave the water, you aren't. And this is the blessing then to the children of Yosef, that af hem yiyu betelum klape HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that they should feel towards God, or they should have the relationship with God that the fish have with the water. Va'adavi yavi lahem, and once they would be in that state of self-suspension, if it wouldn't be about them, then this would bring them to sefes bracha bilti mugbelas. That was the way Yaakov was able to open the doors to the greatest volume of blessing for the children of Yosef. This was true for Yaakov as he blessed Yosef's children. And in many ways, this idea can be true for us in our time as well.